As yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
Good morning, everybody. It's our Oscars show, so just for a change, we'll be talking movies.
I'll be lost. Who has won the Golden Razzies this year?
Oh, we'll be tracking down, I think, the bloke who runs that video shop you used to work
at. My homeboy Pete, yes, chatting to him.
Great movie characters.
Oh yeah.
And can you impersonate them?
Yeah.
That's always good.
I got two words for you, Tony. Uncle Monty.
Oh, there goes all our listeners. Michael Ward, film critic and comedy writer, he's dropping by to talk movies that nobody likes except you. Everyone's
That's
got one
I
of those.
I want to know about.
We'll be finding out where Ralph Fiennes is sitting at the Oscars this year. And, of course, there'll be all the usual gas from the red carpet.
Who are you wearing?
It'll all be coming up on Get This around the nation. And here's a movie trivia question for you. Which classic Aussie film is this the final line from?
By all means, off with his head. And don't forget the scrotum.
We'll have the answer at the end of this song. All right, that's enough laughing out of you.
Yeah.
Underworld with Underneath the Radar around the nation on Triple M. It's Get This. Welcome aboard myself, Tony Martin. Ed Cavalli's here,
Hola.
Of course. And Richard Marsland.
And don't forget the scrotum.
Yes, of course.
Rich.
Thanks to everyone who called in.
Andrew and Lino, thank you for being on the ball. Yes, it was Mad Dog Morgan.
Mad Dog Morgan. I think it was 1976, Aussie movie, which ends with Frank Thring saying...
And don't forget the scrotum.
Wouldn't it be great if every movie had to end with that line?
Standing ovation in the theatre? We'd enter Bambi.
Doesn't matter.
Cars, it'd be different.
The new rule.
All right, I'm into it.
It is our Oscars show. The Oscars himself, fairly boring, really. I mean,
yeah, it's just sort of people in... nice clothes accepting awards for, you know, work.
Is there much more to be said about those nominees?
No.
Okay. We need to talk to an expert. Somebody who's down there on the ground.
This is what we're saying.
Working movies all day.
The trenches. In the movie trenches.
What's the name of that video shop you used to
work at? I used to work at Blockbuster Video in Rose Bay, both Old and New South Head Road.
Oh, okay. This is in New South Wales.
Yeah,
in
Sydney.
Time in Brisbane as well. I think, did you do a bit of video?
Oh, yeah. A little bit of work in Vegas.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're dialing the shop in Sydney. Bondi. Anything coming up, Mr. Marsden? Here we go.
Smoking out the phone.
Blockbuster New South Head, Barry.
Barry?
Yes.
Hello, it's Ed here. Do you remember I used to work there 100 years ago?
The guy who is now a film star or something.
Yeah. Listen, I wanted to talk to Pete, actually, about the Oscars today. Is he available?
Okay, hang on a sec.
Thanks, Barry.
Just you were able to get away from the film set to do this phone call, Ed.
They think I'm in Poseidon 2.
No, sorry, mate, we haven't got any jobs.
Oh, come on! I'm good with VideoMinder.
No, it's all moved on from there.
Pete, nice to talk to you.
How are you, mate?
I'm really good. Hey, can I introduce a couple of friends?
Yeah.
Got Tony Martin here.
Hello.
Hello, Tony.
Director of Bad Eggs, I'm sure you've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what section's that in at the moment?
It's in the back section.
Yeah, not out the front yet, on a sort of bench.
No, we actually prefer the director's commentary to the actual film, to be quite honest.
Yeah,
one
so
of the
do I.
Ones.
And Richard Marsland is here as well. He's our panel op.
Hi, Pete. Nice to meet you.
Richard.
Mate, can we talk Oscars for a minute?
Oscars?
Yeah.
Try me.
Are people coming in and demanding Oscar winners, you know, around about Oscar season, or is it still just have the Electric Blue titles been moved onto DVD yet?
No, but there's a few interesting things happening this year. I hear that... Martin Scorsese is going to win for a film that he hates.
Oh, did he not like it?
What's he done now? He's come out and said he hates The Departed.
Hates the film, can't watch it.
Hates it so much he's making a prequel and a sequel.
That would be an interesting concept, wouldn't it?
Hey, what have you got on, Pete? Because normally when we'd start work...
clothes-wise?
No, well...
Ed, you shouldn't talk to me like this while I'm at work.
Who are you wearing? You know how we used to be Beach Boys was the order of the day early on?
Ha!
You ever got any new Beach Boys DVDs?
There's always a new Beach Boys DVDs. They cannot bury Brian Wilson, okay?
Okay, what movies have the Beach Boys done? I'm sorry.
Well, there was always the fantastic... what was it called now? The Beach Boys story, which was acted by other people, which had the immortal line as they're walking along the road, "Hey, look at her. I bet she has fun till the daddy takes the T-bird away." That was one of the great lines I've ever heard in any film.
And is that, shifting down there at Blockbuster?
Not anymore.
Hey, Pete, are they still stealing Scarface at a rate of knots?
No, these days it's Cheech and Chong movies, still high on the rating.
Really up in smoke, I can understand, but the others, please. Who's stealing Things Are Tough All Over or Corsican Brothers?
No, it's the drug ones, mate.
Oh, right.
It's the drug ones.
It's the ones their mums won't let them have.
Hey, so are you still writing those pink post-it notes with recommendations on the front, Pete?
DVDs, unfortunately, are too small for pink post-it notes.
Ah.
It's all changed.
If somebody's renting something that you don't approve of, do you speak up or do you just let it go?
Let it go, mate. Everybody loves what they love.
Yeah, there must have been some instance where you felt that you had to say something.
Well, Sandra Bullock films.
Steven Seagal, do you let Half Past Dead leave the shop without comment?
Steven Seagal films go to people that deserve Steven Seagal.
Hey, Peter.
They know what they're getting. They hate them. They bring them back. 6 months later, another one comes out. They take out another one.
They know what they're getting. A bloke standing in weird kind of light so you can't quite see what's happening above his eyebrows.
Actually, I strongly recommend you have a look at the cover of the new Steven Seagal film because it looks like it just came out of Tomb Raider simulated. It looks like he's been airbrushed to death.
How many copies you get into that one?
Oh, we always have a regular seven. There's always seven people
seven
a day who will
Seagal.
Take out a Steven Seagal film.
Pete,
yes.
You were the one who first put me on to Withnall and I. Is that moving at all? Is that picked up in popularity again?
It's rent out to that tiny 2% of customers who will always go for something with quality in it and alcohol.
Yes, we champion titles like that, and you know, people would prefer, I think, that we just pointed them towards what kind of title?
On Deadly Ground.
Or Failure to Launch,
there
indeed.
But failure to Laugh. Yeah.
Short Bus out.
Yeah, yeah.
Short Bus. Now, there was a film.
What kind of comments do you get from that?
It's mostly embarrassed red faces, to be quite honest, when they bring them back.
Now, Pete, for our listeners, is there anything, you know, from Ed's past that you'd like to get out on the public record?
Ed wouldn't like that.
Ah, no. You're a man after my own heart.
You can't provide just any snippet of colour, any glimpse of the behaviour of behind.
Well, I got the cheque in the post last week, so it would be very rude of me to actually go over the top of that.
What are you going for, Pete? Best Picture, what's going to get it?
Best Picture, well, you know what's going to get
Departed.
It. Of course it is. So unless the Americans go gung-ho and go Dreamgirls, which is what they did with Chicago, sometimes in times of crisis, they like to have a nice musical.
Yeah, this is true.
I'd love to see it win. I mean, it's not nominated, but I'd love to think that it could somehow come from behind.
I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, thanks for talking to us, Pete.
Be good.
Nice talking to you, Pete. Thanks,
anyway,
mate.
Happy
thanks.
Oscars Day.
Pete.
Okay. Well, that was...
Welcome to my life, man. That was 8 years.
Not as illuminating as I thought it would be. We've got news of Ed Cavalier's film career next. I'll get this. Just making it up now. Thank you very much, Eskimo Joe. Around the Nation on Triple M. It's Get This.
Oh, is it though?
How do you mean?
Well, you know, we need to do things that are more like everybody friendly.
Okay.
We need to make the show more popular. So now you're all listening to The Loony Bin. Oh, thanks, Dickie. Hey, got a million of them.
The phones have lit up. Thanks very much, too.
Where's the weirdest place you've had? Woo, woo, woo!
Barry, and I think, was it Barry you answered initially and then Pete?
Yes.
Now they're at Blockbuster.
Hello, guys.
Your former employees.
Fine. It's the best video store you're likely to go to. Care.
I didn't know
and
you,
Selection.
You used to work for Dicko, but he wasn't giving much away. How's that? There's no stories. I'm going, surely 7 years, there'd be some.
There was. I was running through them in my head, and he abstained, which was great.
The wagons.
Good man.
We mentioned Ed's film career. Hey.
Why you got to do that? Why put up the, what are they, parentheses? With the fingers.
The ear quote marks.
Yeah, why? I got a film career.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Squid, are
you not? The one me and my homeboy are in.
Okay, now this was meant to be in Tropfest, right?
Yep. And it got close.
Because it didn't have a twist ending in the last 10 seconds of the film, it wasn't eligible for Tropfest. So now it's in this, what is it, the best of the rest.
Oh, yeah, the rest.
Okay,
so
these are films that didn't get into the top 1,000?
Hey, top
100.
Let's go top 8. Like, we were we were one step away from being shown on the big screen.
All right, and
I think they were afraid. You know what I mean? I think they were afraid of Josh and Lawson and myself. Our presence on screen incited something. You know
and
what
how
I mean?
Are the octopus effects? You know, are they up to sort of Ed Wood standards? Or?
You know what it was? I was in a tank, right? I had to jump into a diving tank and look at the camera like, oh, what's going on underwater? Right. And then the director, who was also in there, just yanked me by the legs towards the camera.
Now, this film is called Squid. It goes 6 minutes and 59 seconds.
Yep.
It's part of the Best of the Rest program one. There's two of them.
Yep.
Screening around the nation at part of, Popcorn Taxi.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on tonight in Sydney at the Greater Union Bondi Junction, 7 p.m.
Hey, Greater Union, Rich.
Yeah,
looks like
good.
This little cat's on his way.
Tomorrow night at Acme in Federation Square in Melbourne.
Good.
7 p.m. program one.
Right.
7 minutes of goals.
Oh, yeah. And how's the, what's the screenshots of it? But don't go by the screenshot.
Oh, yeah, because now, I should point out, you're not going along just to see Ed and Josh's film.
No, no.
A program of
that you have to sit through before us.
Okay, it's a whole lot of short films. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the photo you selected represent the movie?
No, okay, look, this is
You're being taken from behind Josh Lawson.
No, I'm being...
At sea!
I'm being hauled back into a boat.
Roughly.
All right? Gets lonely on the Brisbane River.
That could not be more short bus if it tried.
Speaking of which, thankfully, hello hello to Pablo Christie, who says that, hello, hi, get this crew, the Looney, hi, Looney Bin crew. It's taken a good 6 months of you talking. Hi, Looney Bin crew.
Hello.
It's taken a good 6 months of you guys talking about, but I finally watched Short Bus.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant, quirky movie that everyone must see.
Yeah.
If you've got the stomach. First scene hits you in the face. Quite literally.
It does. Now, I was in my video shop Saturday night.
Yeah.
Four copies of Short Bus.
Yeah.
All with a little bit of cardboard down that's not out. It's not here. It's not
available. Sorry, I'm out.
Yeah, don't ask. Don't ask for me. I'm busy. And I was thinking, how many people, as a result of us mentioning it, A, and then B, how many angry people calling the show this morning?
Yeah, that's true.
So far, because it's not for everybody.
No.
Certainly not for the younger folk.
No, definitely not for the younger folk.
No.
Unless you're curious.
No.
Okay.
Which you wouldn't be. Here's a question from Dave, says, Dear Ed,
yep.
My local mom and pop video shop are selling all their old videos, VHS titles, for $2. Any suggestions?
Yes.
What should they pick up?
Drunken Master 1 and 2.
Oh, Drunken Master 2.
Yes.
Was zhuzhed up.
Because it has a few crane shots and stuff.
It has a really bizarre ending.
Which is?
I can't remember. Isn't somebody get blinded?
It's an unhappy ending
to a comedy.
And you know what they got rid of?
They got rid of the ending.
Yes.
And then they juiced up the sound effects. So this is Jackie Chan at his very best.
At his best.
Not his jumping on buses.
No. Wisecracking with Chris, whatever
Tucker,
his name
this is.
Is
like the undiluted Jackie Chan Hong Kong style.
Definitely. Yeah. Anything Cheech and Chong? Get a hold of that.
It's really just up in smoke, isn't it? Please, we can't recommend.
Get out of my room.
Oh,
you know what I saw for sale at the Blockbuster.
What you saw while
slapstick of another kind.
Oh no, Jerry Lewis.
Tony,
what's that?
That's I think a very poor adaptation of a Kurt Vonnegut book called Slapstick.
Oh, really?
And then someone's gone, oh, Close Encounters came out, we better add another kind to the end of the title.
And it's got Jerry Lewis sort of half serious, half nutty.
Yeah, don't buy that for $2. Not worth $2.
Lewis on the half nut.
80s sci-fi gear. That's what I find you can pick up. They Live with Rowdy Roddy
Amazing.
Piper.
An amazing film.
The Hidden with Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, yes.
That's a good title.
Dark Star?
Dark Star.
What's that? I've never seen that.
John Carpenter's Dark Star with, I think the villain is a beach ball with hands.
That's right. It's a
very low
film.
Budget. 76, I think.
Ripped off for Castaway. Yeah. Oh, is he suing for that? Jeez.
And then the other good one.
One Crazy Summer.
Yeah, that's good.
Demi Moore and John Cusack.
What about
Antics on the Beach?
Near Dark. That's a beauty from the 80s. Surely that was shifting in your day.
That went a treat.
Yeah, so it's good for the 80s gear that's probably not going to be moved onto DVD if you're going past the video shop. Can I hear crickets outside?
Yeah.
Can I hear we were going to be more mainstream movie style today? We haven't got any showbiz on the show.
No.
Let's have some gratuitous showbiz. We haven't had the Philip Ruddock dancers in here for a while.
Oh, the Rudds.
This is, in case people don't know, if you arrive at a detention centre in Australia, it's not all gloom and doom.
Not at all.
They send out the Philip Ruddock dancers.
Life's not the French Riviera.
Detainees.
Believe me, life's not a charity ball.
It isn't.
It isn't all a great big bed of roses.
Think about that before you came here.
Showbiz, but the main thing I suppose
it's so good. It's a being warmer.
I'm smiling through my hunger strike.
Let's talk to the ever libelous Lockie Hume live from Hollywood, the dark side of the red carpet.
You know what? He's not on the line yet. He doesn't know. I cannot wait to hear where he says he is.
Oh, guys, I'm sitting here with Gina Davis and the original cast of Dallas. They're talking me ear off trying to get me to be in their new movie.
I can't.
Not going to do it.
Out of Gina Davis would be my guess at his pinch from Blockbuster. That'll be next. I'll get this. It's you too here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. People are calling up. The Drunken Master series is a real series of films.
It is.
With Jackie Chan. Return of the Drunken Master, mm-hmm. I think, is the one you want, which yes. is the rejuiced version of the second one. The idea is no one can beat him in a fight.
Nope.
Because he's drunk. I mean, that's essentially the idea.
Pretty much.
It's the Glenn Milne theory of self-defense. It's pretty impressive to see on the big screen. Do we have our man in Hollywood on the line? Are you there, Lockie Hume?
I'm right here, Tane, and I thought your cue to introduce me would be drunk.
So... Oh, okay. Is it that early? Whereabouts are you?
Well, mate, I'm standing on the roof of my apartment building in Santa Monica.
Right.
Because it's the only place I can get decent reception.
Okay. So, and what can you see?
We don't have a landline in the apartment, so I had to actually go out and buy $100 worth of phone credit today so I could do this.
Oh, well done. Why no landline? Things not going very well?
No, it's not just it's not that. You've got to have a social security number to get a landline.
Oh, do you?
Quite frankly, I've been dodging taxmen for all my life. I'm going to start making friends with them now.
All right, so you're in the country illegally. Fair enough. What can you see from up there? Any Oscar excitement?
There's no Oscar. Well, I was watching the red carpet arrivals until I had to come up and speak to you, Jokers. It's all happening here in LA, Tane. What can I tell you, mate? It's Hollywood's night of night.
Has anyone, you know, what was on the red carpet? Anyone make a fool of themselves yet at any stage?
No, I didn't. I actually turned it on just at the moment Jada Pinkett Smith was being interviewed, and I, of course, did all my Matrix work in the Matrix films with Jada, so it was nice to see her. She was there with Will, her husband, and their little boy, Jaden, who, of course, starred in Pursuit of Happiness with them. So it's good, man. Now, listen, I got to tell you a quick couple of things, Tone, before we go anywhere.
Yes,
before
just...
we get into our Oscars preview.
Yeah.
First of all, you'll be very happy to know that Are You Being Served is playing on Los Angeles television.
About time. Really?
Okay. Yes. Okay, I just wanted you to know that.
This is the original Are You Being Served.
The original Are You Being Served, not Are You Being Served Down Under, which they didn't even call it, the idiots. But anyway, that's on PBS Channel 50 for anyone who's listening.
Yeah, we're trying to go a bit more mainstream on this program, Lockie.
Because you got 2 hours now. We can't talk about British comedy. Is that how it works?
Okay, what else you got?
Okay, second thing is, I've got something I've got to talk to Cavalier about.
Oh,
now,
yes.
Listen, Ed.
Hey, mate,
you were here, apparently you were here a month ago,
yeah.
right? Okay, now, you were lining up at LAX to get on the flight back to Melbourne, and Megan from Qantas came up to you, right?
And sorry, is this going to be a Ralph Fiennes style incident? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's not. Believe me, Cavalier wishes it would be. Megan came up to Cavalier, right, at LAX, and this woman, Megan, she's an absolute gem of a person, and she is the biggest Get This fan on the planet.
Right.
I can guarantee she lives here in LA, and she will be listening to the show right now.
Hello, okay? Megan.
Right, thank you. Hello, Megan. And Cavalier, that's all you had to do.
He didn't snub her.
He snubbed her.
Is that right?
He was going to give her a Cheerio, and he didn't.
I did too.
She rang me on Friday night because my girlfriend Victoria had to go back to Sydney, and Megan and I were making sure Vic got on the plane all right and whatnot, and she mentioned that Cavalier snubbed her.
Is that right? So you're quite happy to make her pregnant, but you wouldn't even give her a Cheerio on the radio.
You wouldn't give her a Cheerio. You'd give her a good old Ray Fiennes, but not a Cheerio.
You've not really dropped any names so far. Come on, buddy.
Okay, now listen, I've got a hilarious story I've got to tell you guys. Now, listen, I can't reveal my sources, all
right?
All right. I sort of can. You can join the dots, right? And if you corner me, you know, I'll just confess because I like a lawsuit. But I've got a good mate of mine over here I did a movie with who's now doing a movie for another guy over here who's well-known for directing films starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, now, we got the lowdown on how Schwarzenegger would deliver his dialogue. Now, Tone, because you're quite famous for your Schwarzenegger impression, quite famous.
Yeah, in the 90s, certainly.
I want you to write this down, Tone, and we're going to get you to do your Schwarzenegger impression.
Okay.
I want you to write this down. It is not a tumor.
You're listening to Triple M, by the way. It is not a tumor.
Okay, now, that's how Arnold would say it, because it would read that in the script. It is not a tumor.
Right.
So what this director, not that he directed this particular film, we're obviously taking a line from Kindergarten Cop, which is directed by Ivan Reitman.
Yes.
Who was a genius.
As we know.
So this particular director on Arnie's famous lines would take it is, okay, and change it to, obviously, it's.
Yep.
Okay, you're writing this down, Tony?
It's.
Okay, and tumor or tuma is just that, tuma.
Yeah.
But not a would have to be rewritten on the set to, instead of N-O-T space A, not a, would have to be changed to N-O-D-D-A.
Is that right?
Okay.
So it becomes...
And that was the only way they could get Arnie to speak like he was a human being instead of a cyborg.
It's so not a tuma.
Now change it to that, it's not a tuma. It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor. Okay? That's good. Mm-hmm.
Good job, Lucky.
Yeah, so that was a bit, real hardcore bit of insider gossip. And listen, I'll just blow my sources. Sam Worthington told me that.
Okay, now, does this mean this? Would they still be doing this for political rallies?
That's a funny, that's interesting you should ask that, because I asked Worthington that when he told me the story. And you know, we're of the conclusion that, yes. Of course, why not?
It's not a tax rise. It's not a detention center.
We're going to win. Anyway, yeah, there's a little bit of... That's a real hardcore insider golf, man. That's straight from James Cameron's mouth to you.
That's, Lockie Hume, that is the best bit of 90s goss we could ever hope for. Thanks. Hey, Lockie, I've got an Oscar pick for you. Now, listen, who do you think's going to... Do you think that the Adam Sandler film Click is an absolute shoo-in for the best makeup Academy Award it's up for today?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Ed, and I really have no idea what you're talking about, and as usual, I'll just ignore you and get back to talking with Tony.
Hang on a second. Look, we're looking for big-name, you know, Oscar bombshells. We've got very little so far. We spoke to the bloke who runs Ed's old video shop. Surely you're going in for some kind of audition. Is there something you can sizzle up for us, Lockie?
Well, it's been a very schizophrenic time over here, to be honest with you, Tone. It's the networks really have got no idea what they're doing, man. I've read about 65 scripts in the last 3 weeks since I've been back here. There's only two scripts that I've actually even liked. One of them's not going to happen because the writer's a mental case, and the other one's probably going to get stuffed up by the network. So it's pretty much dead in the water over here.
So it's pretty much like here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like, I feel like I might as well be back in Melbourne, put it that way.
All right. Well, it's good to hear the networks are stuffing things up.
Before the Oscar broadcast begins, because, mate, I'm going to have to get off the phone in a second because the Oscars are about to start.
And we're into the next hour of our show already.
Can I get you some Oscar picks from you, Tone?
I'm taking so little interest in the Oscars. I mean,
rubbish.
It's just going to be the same old gear. It's going to be Martin Scorsese, isn't it, for Best Director?
Okay, so you're picking Scorsese for Best Director. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you think he deserves Best Director?
Well, no, I don't think so for The Departed. But it's one of those...
Neither do I, man. He should have won either for Raging Bull or for Goodfellas.
You know, we're talking about a system that's never given a Best Director Oscar to Martin Scorsese, to Alfred Hitchcock, to Stanley Kubrick, to Orson Welles, but has given one to Kevin Costner.
And to Tony Martin, for that matter. And, hey, I'll go you one better, mate. Who did Costner win? What did Costner win for, and who did he beat out?
Well, he beat Scorsese for Goodfellas.
Scorsese for Goodfellas, and who is the other first-time director who was an actor who was blonde hair?
Yes, Robert Redford.
Beat Scorsese for Ordinary People when Scorsese was nominated for Raging Bull.
Look, if Gary Busey was to direct a film, I'm sure he'd beat Martin Scorsese at the Oscars. It just happened somehow. We're going to have to sign off here, Lockie.
Okay, no, I just want a big cheerio to all your team, mate. Obviously, Cavalier, I don't really like you that much, but good to hear from you, boys.
Nice to see you out with your friends today, Hume, standing by yourself on the roof of your building watching the Oscars.
Tells you how much I love you guys.
Oh, that's nice.
All right, well, thanks for talking to us.
Hamilton, wait a minute.
Oh, he's got a speech.
To Matty Dower, to Bianca on the phones, and of course, to Marshlando Calrissian. Marshlando, we need you.
He's dropped his phone off the roof of his building.
Oh, he's run out of credit.
The music was starting up.
Yes, we do need to bring the music in when we have him on. Thank you very much, Lockie Hume, and we'll be back with more glamour in a moment.
Get this.
Is this moron number one?
Put moron number two on the phone.
Brought to you by Bob, the bus driver from Blacktown.
Let's get this around the nation, and yes, let's get straight into it. We've got a lot to get through on our Oscars show.
A lot of songs to get through now.
Thanks
to Hume.
He has no off switch. We'll be back to talk great movie characters. Join in next on Get This. It's Never Let You Go. It's in excess here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Well, I say Get This, Ed wants it to be retitled.
The Loony Bin. Oh, Dickie, keep him coming, you crazy kook. Is that a wig or is that your real hair?
What is this making us more popular?
I think so.
Or more annoying? Let's get up Talkback Mountain. Yeah.
This will bring him back.
That's right. Everybody talkback. Hey. Feel free to put on a dodgy accent.
Mountain.
It's movie Oscar day. That's what it is. Let's stop talking about actors. Mm. Let's start talking about characters.
They're vehicles.
This is what we want to see when we go to a movie,
yes.
Not what's Brad Pitt wearing.
No, no, no. We want to hear what people are doing.
What great
what have they created?
What's a great character? People think about it. A great movie character that you like. I tell you one I can't get enough of. We've talked about him many times before. I don't even know his name. It's the New Zealand character
that
Steve Guttenberg plays in the straight-to-video classic Don't Tell Her It's Me.
When he's a rootless wanderer, twisting through this savage world in search of...
In search of what?
Of a way to fill the yearning void within himself.
That's a great character from a movie.
He's sporting a switch and a leather jacket, if you're looking for it.
Fred Willard in Spinal Tap as Lieutenant Hookstrong, Army Base Commander.
Right. Unbelievable.
I'm joking, of course, was his catchphrase.
Uncle Monty.
Uncle Monty from With Nail and I.
Richard Griffiths from Pie in the Sky.
The Fat Chef, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was Dr. Meinheimer in Naked Gun 2.
Yeah, he's
and Dr. Meinheimer's Evil Twin.
Now, here we go. He's also the dad in Harry Potter.
Yes.
He's Harry Potter's adopted kind of uncle that doesn't like Harry.
And people in Sydney might have seen him on stage last year in the History Boys.
In the History
Big
Boys.
Fat bloke with a moustache.
Now, he's now this is Withnell and I.
Yeah.
Story of two actors, out-of-work actors.
Yeah.
And they go to, and he's one of their uncles.
Yeah.
And they go off to his house.
Yeah.
And this is what he greets them with.
I happen to think the cauliflower more beautiful than the rose.
Chin chin.
Do you grow...
Geraniums.
Oh, you little traitors. I think the carrot infinitely more fascinating than the geranium. Hmm. The carrot has mystery. Flowers are essentially tarts. Prostitutes for the bees.
Yeah, it's all gold coming out of Monty's mouth. Okay, that's a great movie character.
I know you people don't want to watch Withnell and I, because every time I recommend any film ever, even when I worked in the video store, people would look at me and go, why? Why should I watch that? Why should I put down Failure to Laugh and pick up your bizarre film that's down the back behind Joe's apartment that no one wants to watch? And I would always have to come up with mainstream reasons to watch bizarre films. My one for Withnell and I is, remember in there is a character, a drug dealer, played by, who is it?
By Ralph Brown.
Ralph Brown. These names are not making any sense. Unless you've seen Wayne's World, where he essentially plays the same character.
Wayne's World 2.
Wayne's World 2, sorry. This is the guy I'm talking about.
So there's me and Keith Moon and David Crosby breaking into this little sweet shop, right? Well, instead of a guard dog, they've got this bloody great big Bengal tiger. Well, I managed to take out the tiger with a can of mace. But the shop owner and his son, that's a different story altogether. I had to beat them to death with their own shoes.
Now, that's him in Wayne's World 2.
As the roadie who is in charge of Wayne Stock.
Yeah, now everyone remembers him.
Yes.
But if you want to see him doing that character, but way better.
Way better.
With Null and I.
Yeah.
And it's hard to sort of sell it to a person who's just who's looking for plot.
It's so
It's not a lot of plot. It's just really funny.
Yeah. It's just gags.
Yeah.
And go into it thinking it's a drama.
Yeah, don't go into it thinking it's a comedy.
Yeah.
And that's the way to look at it. Gee, that's a recommendation. Great movie characters, Mr. Marsden. Who do you like?
I've got a couple. I've got Frank Vincent, who's just terrific in everything. He's in all those Martin Scorsese movies.
Yeah, he's a silverhead. Isn't he the bloke who's kicked to death on the floor of the bar?
Billy Batts in Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, okay.
Yes.
But in Casino, he's got one of the best lines where Joe Pesci and him are muscling some guy who's borrowed money.
Yes.
And he goes, no, I thought you were Len. And he goes, you thought I was Len? How about I stick your head through this window, blah, blah, blah. And as he's walking off, Frank Vincent says, smarten up. And it's like two words, but it's the best. And so anything that Frank Vincent does, and also Richard Jenkins, who's a great actor, and he's in lots of things as well. But he's in this movie called Flirting with Disaster.
With
Ben
cop.
Stiller.
Yeah, and his meal is laced with LSD, and he puts his head down on the table during the meal because he doesn't know he's been, you know, his meal has been spiked. And he says, "Is this a musical table?"
Flirting with Disaster.
Actors. We don't need actors' names. Nah. You don't need to be that nerdy. Just great characters from films that you like. Please call us with 1-333-353. Times like these, that's Foo Fighters. Let's get this around the nation on Triple M. It's Oscars Day, so we're asking great characters from movies. Who's got one here?
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Hi, Ed.
Hi, mate. Talk us through it.
Mate, I just can't go past Jess Spicoli.
Mm. Oh, yes. Sean Penn in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
The guy they're always trying to get to put a shirt on.
I think that role fast-tracked him to his phone.
And it's so odd that he was so funny in that film, and really he's never been funny since, has he?
Oh, no, it was just pure talent.
Seems to have lost his sense of humour.
Have you seen We're No Angels?
Hey, Peter, funny that Judge Reinhold didn't kick on.
Yeah, but I don't think that he had the sense of humour of Mr. Spicoli.
No, he had his hands full. But, you know, what's your favourite Spicoli scene?
Definitely the falling out the back of the van.
Yeah. Ordering the pizza in the classroom.
Yeah, great entrance.
Yeah, it really is the granddaddy of your Wayne's World and your Bill and Ted.
Peter, spot on. Thank you, sir. We're going to another Peter. How are you?
Hello, fellas. How are you?
Really good. Talk us through it.
It's a great movie I've seen that not many people have seen called Midnight Run.
One of the greatest films of all time, in my opinion.
So is. And Dennis Farina in that is fantastic. Every sentence he starts with, he goes like, let me tell you something, and he just gives these guys, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and he's a pretty sort of evil character, and yet he somehow is funny with it.
He's hilarious.
I love the scene where the two henchmen are talking to him on the phone, and one of them's karate kicking the other one in the middle of the street.
While he's in the phone box.
While he's being told off and being threatened to have a pen stuck through his head.
I like every insult when those guys kept ringing up. He kept saying to them, I'm going to stab you in the heart with a pencil and stuff like that.
Peter, the two henchmen, when one of them's trying on a cowboy hat, and he goes, check it out. Hop along, Cassidy. Check out the camera, take a picture.
No, that is spun gold, that movie. I can watch that every night.
Peter, spot on, sir. Thank you. Hello, Will.
Hi.
Talk us through it.
Max Fisher and Rushmore.
Yeah, word up. And there's so much good stuff in there, but I love it when he's got his friend, his best mate, who's in the kind of the fourth. Max is in sort of like the 10th grade, I think. Mm, yeah. And his best friend is in kind of the 6th grade. And he always introduces him as if they should know him.
What's your favourite scene?
The Serpico play.
Serpico play is a cool guy.
What's the other one he does? He does Heaven and Earth as a play.
And then at the end he does an Apocalypse Now type play. When he's out the back of the Serpico play and he tells someone not to mess with the lines and they say, it doesn't matter, and he goes, don't F with my play. King hits the guy.
That's right, he does. That's right. Jason Schwartzman in Rushmore. Yeah. Who have we got next?
Hi, Kate, how are you?
Kate, we can't get to
him. Never mind. Hello, Nathan, how are you?
Good, how are you guys?
Good,
how's it going?
Oh, really good. Talk us through it.
My character is Tony Perkis from Heavyweights.
Now, I've never seen Heavyweights. This is Ben Stiller at a sort of fat kids camp.
Yes, it's one of his early lead roles. And I think, from what I can tell, the character from Dodgeball that he plays is based on Tony Perkis.
Right. And what's your favourite bit?
Oh, well, he's jogging through the forest and he sees this log in the road and he just picks it up and goes, come here, you devil log, and he just throws it off the road and just keeps running. And
I think also perhaps his character in Happy Gilmore, which is he's the orderly at the nursing
hospital.
Home.
Quite similar to that.
Yeah.
See, if we could get all of these scenes and cut them together, this would be just as good as any fancy montage you're going to see on the Oscars tonight.
You know it. Finally, Paul, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. How's yourself?
Really good, mate. What? Talk us through it.
Jack Burton, as played by Kurt Russell in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes. Now, what's your favourite bit there?
There's so many scenes, but one of my favourite bits is when he disguises himself as Henry Swanson and goes to the Chinese brothel.
That's right. Now, the story is he can only read Chinese, isn't it? Not speak it or understand it. That took some explaining. The first 15 minutes is just him trying to tell people that that's how he, you know, that he can do that.
Is that your favourite of the Carpenter-Russell collaborations? Do you rate it ahead of The Thing and Escape from New York?
Well, again, I'm a huge Carpenter fan. The Thing's top, and They Live is one of the best.
Yeah.
And Big Trouble Little China, that's one of my favourites for sure.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, he needs to get back on track. A They Live sequel, do you think Rowdy Roddy Piper would be up to it? They Still Live?
Hey, anything's possible.
Okay, well, bold dreams from our film-loving listeners.
Hey, thank you, everyone that called in. Sorry all the people we couldn't get to. Tone, we had so many callers. We have found our level obscure film characters.
And we have never run this late. Good. Thanks to everyone who tuned in. The news is coming up in the next hour.
Get this.
I get older. They stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Brought to you by Richard's cousin, Stafford. Hope the gout's under control, buddy.
Do what I want because I can. If I don't, because I want to.
It's the second hour of Get This.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna.
And look who's here. It's Michael Ward.
What's up?
Woody.
Hello, hello, thank you.
One of the writers of Stupid, Stupid Man, and of course does a bit of DVD reviewing. Mm. We're here to talk Oscars today, Michael. We're just talking great movie characters with our listeners. Have you got one?
I love the guy in Planes, Trains, Automobiles. I don't know his name, but he's that yokel, and it's when they're going to take a ride in the back of the pickup, and he goes, this is my wife. First baby came out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing.
Wow, why no Oscar nomination for that guy? Yes. Why no Oscar nomination for Sean Penn as Jeff Spicoli?
What are you going to do?
Okay, that's the important
thing. Should I be doing something?
Is that
gap for me to try and say that what I'm doing?
I'm just enjoying the music. Can you crank it up a bit? Why can't we have the whole of this song? This is The Hives, by the way, is interpreted by Richard Cheese. Mm-hmm. It's all very Oscar fancy today. We'll be classing it up with some movie talk, actual movie talk.
The winners of the Razzies announced.
Oh, we're getting to them. And also movies that you like that nobody else does. You want to join us for that, Wardy?
I'd love to.
Let's do that. Call me. That's Blondie. It's the second hour of Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. It's our movies edition because of some big ass awards that are going on the other side of the world today. Please, well, oh, what? What's
we're
that?
We're also in the loony bin.
Oh, okay. Let's try to make ourselves more popular somehow. Michael Ward's here. Give him a fake round of applause.
Thank you. Tony, I do have an Oscar bombshell to give you straight off the top.
Let's hear it.
There's been a late change to the Oscar nominations after the whole Mile High thing last week with Ralph Fiennes. He's been nominated for Best Original Score.
Where's his round? Come on, there's got to be a boing in the computer for that man.
A proper joke on our show. Thank you, Michael.
Possibly wondering who you are, Michael, if they've not heard our show before.
I think everybody's wondering who I am.
Done a fair bit of comedy writing over the years. Yep. Stupid, Stupid Man, that was one of yours. Is there a new series? What's happening with Matt Newton? Any bombshells?
There is a second series of Stupid, Stupid Man pending Matt's date in court, and it's really bugging me up. I've had to ditch the whole eye gouging script that I was
reading. Two in a row.
But you can see Michael here in the paper today. There's ads in most states.
See that large Asian girl in the foreground?
This is the Jetstar ad in Melbourne. You'll find it on page 23 of the Herald Sun.
That Asian girl is me.
Really?
No, it's not. You're in the background looking pretty unhappy with a magazine you're reading.
Well, this is the trouble. That's why I get so few ads, Tony, because I've got a natural tendency to frown. These eyebrows just force down the brow. And I really have to hoik them up, and I didn't really achieve it there, so it looks like I'm really not enjoying what I'm listening to at all.
You need some Hollywood tape for the eyebrows.
I do.
Keep them up.
Tape. And I think in the TV version of the Jetstar ad, there's like a half-second shot of you.
There is. I'll give you a little insight into that ad. That plane isn't flying, and I'm not really interested in the book I'm reading.
Yeah. What?
That's the magic of television for you.
Do they give you any direction? What do they say?
He just said, read that book and enjoy it, son. Yeah. And I did. In that ad, I did hoik my eyebrows up high, so it didn't look like I was frowning.
What I love is it's our Oscar show, and the biggest star we can find, it's the man who's in one shot in the Jetstar ad.
Back of the Jetstar ad.
Hey, were you guys watching last night? My sister was on the old Australia's Got Talent.
Oh, yes.
One of them Godiva string quartet types.
Wow.
There was nothing I can play on the show. I was hoping for some kind of, a scathing attack from Danny Minogue or Red, but they were quite nice. I think she's gone on to whatever the next level
Fantastic.
Is. Fantastic. So despite all her attempts to sabotage her on this program, they're through.
Good job. Who are they up against? Old lady contortionist or dancing poodle?
Sword swallower.
Sword swallower,
what about
that
balloon guy? Did you see him in the first episode who disappeared inside a giant balloon and then came out again?
I
think he got through.
The bar is high.
Wow. Did he just float off stage? That's the, that did. Is amazing.
He did. He popped his balloon at the end.
And the sword swallowing. Is that for real? If somebody sticks a sword down their throat, I mean, is that really happening or is it folding up into the handle?
No, they can do that.
How can they do that with not just slicing themselves all up inside? Wow. Surely, surely if you stuck a sword down your throat, that would hurt.
Call in.
I mean, how's that done? I mean, honestly, how is that done?
It's all in the muscles.
No, I'm trying to think.
It's
I think
a relaxing thing. It's like, you know, relaxing the, is it the esophagus that it goes
down?
Yeah. And so it's, you know, handed down from father to son over generation to generation.
So how far do you reckon you could get a sword?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's probably more of an after dark late date show.
No.
But I'm not.
If we got one in here, Richard, would you, I mean, by the end of the show, would you have a crack at it? If we could find a sword, scimitar or sabre out in the prize cupboard.
What's the insurance plan with this show?
Well, we haven't got that far. Making it up as we go along.
Jeez, sending me down in the river on a lot of tasks.
That'd be bad for your acid reflux if you've got a bit of that. How much Gaviscon would you need after swallowing a sword? Okay, so that really goes on, sword swallowing.
Yeah.
It's not done with mirrors.
No.
That bloke used to swallow light bulbs. Remember that? The regurgitator.
No, he could swallow whole... The guy swallowed a train, didn't he? Bit by bit.
And then brings it up in a different order.
Yeah.
A whole train.
I'm sure...
He swallows a train.
No, I'm sure I saw him eat a locomotive.
Over what period?
Like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's good TV.
It's a good... Yeah. Okay. See, welcome to our movie show, Michael. Welcome to our movie show. Hey, you mentioned Ralph Fiennes. Did you see last night the interview with the hostie on 60 Minutes?
No, I missed it. I didn't even know it was on.
Yeah.
How'd she come across?
Well,
wears no underpants, apparently.
She did come across, apparently. And pregnant, she reckons. She might be pregnant. This only happened about a week ago. Now, you've got children.
Yes.
It takes a few months, doesn't it, for pregnancy to become a
parent? You can't
work
it out that fast. Yeah. You can't work it out. It takes months.
Yeah, so
8 weeks.
I might be pregnant, really, as much as that.
Telltale baby bump underneath the satin shirts.
Okay, I can't believe that was a 60 Minutes story.
Why can't you believe that?
Well, the 60 Minutes used to have like three stories an hour.
Shot on film.
And be big-ass stories about important stuff going on around the world, not somebody has sex in a toilet on a plane. How is that news?
Be news if I did. I'd be telling everyone.
Ed, you'd know this. Does the actual height of a plane heighten sexual intensity?
You're in the ad, son. You're in the Jetstar ad.
Yeah, that ad hasn't run yet. You've got to wait. That comes in March.
Well, there's a lot of questions to be asked. Swallowing light bulbs.
Yeah.
Swords. Does it heighten sexual intensity? The Mile High Club. We'll get to them all. I'll get this. That's Silverchair, Straight Lights here at Get This on Triple M. People have been calling in, guys. Michael Ward is here, by the way.
Hello.
Stevie Starr was the regurgitator, the man who used to swallow.
That's not the guy I'm talking about.
Yeah, the guy who brought up a whole train.
Ate a train.
It's a long night in the theatre.
It's worth it, though.
Okay. Another call we've had is, Sam has called in to say that Steve Guttenberg's character in Don't Tell Her It's Me, the New Zealand guy, his name was Lobo Marunga.
Believable.
The most convincing New Zealand accent in the history of cinema. Let's hear a bit more of it.
I could have rang for a bloody cab from any one of those booths we passed.
Would you like a drink?
Have you any whiskey?
Frangelico Kahlua?
Haven't you got anything with a bit of hair on it? A bit of bite to it?
I've got some gin.
A large glass, if you will.
Anything new from the Goot coming across your desk, Michael?
No, I haven't seen the Goot in years. Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
Of course
he is.
Now, you're from New Zealand. Yeah. A lot of kids called Lobo?
No one ever has been called Lobo.
No, there was a singer called Lobo.
There was a band. Was it a band or a singer?
TV show.
I'd love you to love
Sheriff
me.
Lobo.
Sheriff Lobo.
Yeah.
There was a band, though. Yeah, Lobo. What was the song, though?
I'd love you to love me.
That's it.
You're going to need to know that.
Come on, man. Bro.
We're trying to get this guy in shape for a rock trivia bout with Alan Bro.
Well, I don't think Lobo is going to come up.
We need Burgess Meredith from the Rocky movies to come in with a towel around his neck and give you a sort of pep talk.
Look forward to that.
You versus the Bromeister.
Yeah.
Well, he gets the questions and answers at the same time, so you'd really struggle there, I think.
Is that what happened? Is that a bombshell?
What?
I said nothing.
What?
What?
All right, we won't go back there. Hey, but you've been on the telly, Michael. Hello. Ward. Are you back on Joker Poker?
No Joker Poker. I missed the second series. I was on the first series, but my last stint was on Temptation. Anything to win money in some way.
Isn't one of the scaredies? I think Rusty might be on Temptation tonight.
He is indeed, yeah.
Wow, so there's no comedy shows being made, but if comedians can get onto a game show.
There we go, do some gear before they get dragged out.
Now, what happened? My wife said that you were
ganged up on by the other contestants, or
what happened? Is I was on two nights, and I won the first night. I absolutely fell over the line and won by a point after the guy I was leading self-destructed.
Mm.
And then I was on the second night, and the other two contestants weren't that good, and I was just buying everything inside. I bought cricket tickets and an LCD TV, which was great, and I went the cash vault and won like $5,000 there. And buying so much, I was behind by like 4 points at the end of the most of the show. In the last segment, I was behind. And the first question comes out, what does POW stand for? And I go, I buzz in, prisoner of war. But I stumbled on war, and it came out prisoner of war. Right? Now, they buzzed me and said I was wrong. I said prisoner of the war.
Oh.
And I immediately stopped tape, and I said, no, I said prisoner of war. Who's ever said prisoner of the war? So the woman next to me, who's miles behind, she says, yeah, he said prisoner of war. I heard him. The other guy who's leading by like five says, no, he said prisoner of the war.
Oh.
And I turned to him, I said, mate, I'm not a liar. I said prisoner of war. I just stumbled. And so they show him the tape, and that's inconclusive. They take him upstairs to audio. Play that for him, and he doesn't.
Why does he have to agree?
Well, because everybody has to be to move forward. Everybody has to be happy. That's what the producer said. So after about half an hour, they say, "Well, look, the only thing we can do to move forward is scratch the question." Mm. And I sort of said, "Okay, yeah, sure, whatever," just to move forward. And then I ended up losing by less than a question.
Oh.
So gone.
You know what that is? That's a load of the bullshit. That's what it is. So you said war, and he's listening to it, and he's going, "That's the war."
Yeah, the war. Prisoner of the war.
Name him. Name and shame.
Name him. Go on.
I know. I can't remember his last name. His first name was Sean.
Yeah.
How much does that bloke owe you now?
Can I say dickhead on Triple M?
Dickhead Monday. I think it is.
Yeah,
I think it's all right.
Dickhead Monday.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. So that never made it to air, of course. That was all cut out, and all you can tell is my massive scowl at the end when I lost
the brow. Hollywood tape is broken on the brows.
gone. The frown
covering the eyes.
The frown came down, and I was out of town.
Oh.
Hey, we want to talk about this. Will cheer you up, Woody. This will get you back on our. We'll turn the frown upside down as we so often do on this program, because it is. The loony bin.
Oh, yeah.
Got him.
Are we not
the loony bin anymore?
What happened, Rich?
We are the loony bin.
More touch in blurb one.
We want to talk about movies that only you like, that other people can't stand, that you feel like you're the only person in the world that likes this movie. Great. Tommy Boy, that's the one for me.
Good movie.
Let's do that next. I'll get this.
Get this.
This could be a lot more complex. I mean, it might not be just such a simple,
Brought to you by Paul Bell Inskip. What the hell kind of name is that?
Triple M. Let's get this around the nation on Triple M. Oh, must be our movie show. Michael Ward, writer Michael Ward, is with us. The Oscars, do you take much of an interest?
I love the Oscars, Tone, but it's a real trick to avoid the news throughout the day. You're trying to dodge TV and radio, and it's the worst when you're coming home by train and everybody's got MX up with the Russell Crowe's one for Gladiator, and you can't look anywhere.
No, you can't. And occasionally, I remember a couple of years ago, Channel 9's news break during the Oscars themselves gave away Best Picture winner.
You cannot take a risk. You got to tune in right at 8:30.
We want to talk about movies that you like that no one else does. Do you have one of those, Michael?
Well, do you remember a film called Outland?
Yes.
With Sean Connery.
Kind of High Noon.
High Noon in space, and it's on a set on a moon of Jupiter, Io, and people's heads are blowing up and exploding, and people are taking drugs. And I love that movie, but I don't think anybody else does.
I think that's a Peter Hyams film.
It is, yeah.
And isn't he one of those guys who's also the director of photography on his own films?
Oh, really?
The director and the
couple
camera.
Couple of hats.
Wearing a couple of hats.
Couple of hats.
Have you got one of those, Sid?
Yeah, I'm all about My Dinner with Andre.
Two blokes in a restaurant for an hour and a half.
Talking.
Yeah. It's great. Will there be a remake, do you think? Do you think they can get some Bruckheimer explosions into that?
That'd be good. My Dinner with Andre 3000 from Outkast.
Maybe the restaurant gets held hostage
now
by Venezuelan drug dealers.
No, these...
Alan Rickman comes in.
There we go. But these days it has to have like multiple stories all interwoven, loosely based around terrorism or the loss of identity.
Oh, okay.
And lots of boring, boring Hollywood stars looking earnestly down the barrel of the camera.
Okay.
Who have we got on the line there?
Hello, Steve. How are you?
No, we've got a Ryan.
Oh, hi, Ryan. What's up?
Hey, hey, guys. How are we?
Good, thank you. Talk us through it.
Yeah, Clue.
Oh, yes. Now, it should really have been called Cluedo, because here the board game is Cluedo, but in America it's Clue. So the movie was just like, it was just Cluedo as a film, was it?
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Tim Curry's in that, isn't he?
Yeah, he plays the butler.
And,
I won't give it away, but he does it.
And it's...
No, don't give it away, good job.
But hang on, does he though? Because in cinemas in America, there were three different endings, depending on which cinema you went to. But here they couldn't be bothered doing that, so they just joined the three endings up and put all three on in one cinema.
On.
Is that how it looks on video?
Yeah, that's how exactly how it looks.
Ryan, thank you. That is, who else is in that, Ryan? Anyone else you can remember?
No, I've seen him in other things, but nothing of note.
Madeline Kahn?
Yeah. Madeline Kahn.
Available on DVD? Because then you can have the alternate endings.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, did you see it on video or DVD?
No, video. Video back in the good old days.
Good man. I think it'll be quite a wait for Clue to be transferred. Yeah. I've got to get through No Retreat, No Surrender 2 first. You know?
Great.
This is the Tony Danza back catalogue. We have so many people with movies that only they like on the line. We've got to play some music and we'll be back to meet them all next on Get This. Oh, thank you. Lenny Kravitz. Let's get this on Triple M around the nation. Michael Ward is with us. Writer Michael Ward, film reviewer. We're talking movies because it's the Oscars. People calling in, guys, to say that Steve Guttenberg was on Veronica Mars last week as the mayor.
He's done it. He's back.
He is back.
He's the mayor of Marsland.
What about movies that only you like? Who's got one in?
Hey, Steve.
G'day, guys.
Oh, hi. Talk us through it.
Hudsucker Proxy.
Oh, yeah. Coen Brothers Coen movie. Brothers. Probably one of the least popular.
It's absolutely legend movie.
Yeah, it's an amazing looking film.
Oh, especially when he jumps out of the window.
Yeah. That was, I think, set the standard for falling from a great height scenes when it came out.
Yeah, definitely. Tim Robbins in that one.
And Paul Newman.
Yes.
Paul Newman's in that one.
He's the one that jumps out the window.
Isn't there an amazing sequence about how, sort of explaining over a series of shots, how the hula hoop caught on as a craze?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, the whammo hula hoop. Steve, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was great. The hula hoop was... feat of engineering.
Steve, where do you stand on Lebowski?
Because
I hate that film.
No, I'm not a big Lebowski fan.
Really?
Don't like it. Very overrated.
I
it was very much overrated.
I love it. And Marsden loves it.
Yeah, I can't get enough.
Really throwing down there.
And yet I have loaned it to people who have never spoken to me.
Really?
Really divides people. Gary McCaffrey, comedy writer.
Didn't like it.
He won't take any of my recommendations seriously again. When you lose someone,
they're gone.
That really hurts.
Once you give them Joe's apartment, they never come back.
I wouldn't do that, but I wouldn't have thought the Lebowski would be a deal breaker.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you going?
Really good, sir. Which one?
Top Secret.
Tell us about Top Secret for those who haven't.
Oh, it's a bit of a Mel Brooks-style Spaceball flying high type comedy where it's just sight gag after sight gag. I love it. Everything's so stupid, it's that funny.
It kills.
But my wife hates it.
Oh, really? She hates it,
She doesn't get it. Oh, she understands why it's funny, but... Like, we all sit around and watch it, and we'll look at her waiting for her to laugh. Nothing.
Well, it was the guys who did Flying High or Airplane, and see, everyone could follow Airplane because it was kind of, it had a logical plot.
Yes.
But Top Secret, is it set in the present? Is it set during World War II? Is it an Elvis movie? Is it a war movie?
I don't think I think it's just an excuse for sight gags.
And what about the underwater barroom brawl? I mean, your wife doesn't even laugh at that?
She laughs on the inside, I think, Tone.
On the inside. Well, that's a start.
Val Kilmer. She like Val Kilmer? That was his first film, I think.
No, not really.
Skeet surfing doesn't appeal to her?
not really.
If you don't get out of here, my life will be worth less than a truckload of dead rats and a tampon factory. That line doesn't make her laugh.
Classic stuff.
Souvenirs, novelties, party tricks.
Party tricks.
Doesn't get into that bit?
No.
The giant pigeon taking a crap on the statue? That doesn't get a laugh out of her? The railway station that drives away while the train stays still.
Have you seen that film, Tony?
I've seen maybe once. It's a great...
I think the all-time classic scene, Tone, is when they're crawling on their stomach, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, then they crawl up to a pair of boots, and it's like, oh, my God, German general, they're busted, and it pans up. And it's just a pair of boots.
Just a pair of boots. And the wife has left the room by this time, filing divorce papers.
We look at her, laughing on the inside. crickets on our side.
That is tough. Well, okay, good luck to you, Dave.
Hello there, Carly.
Hi.
I'm sure you enjoyed that last call. What have you got for us?
It's a really dodgy horror movie called Trick or Treat.
Oh. Do you know that one, Michael?
No. Who's in that?
Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne.
Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne?
And are they acting?
Yes. Ozzy Osbourne plays a priest. It's very odd.
If they were showing a clip at the Oscars, what would be the clip they show?
Probably Ozzy Osbourne in his priest costume saying how horrible heavy metal music is and how it's bad for everyone.
Does he look like he's reading off cards?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Okay. Gene Simmons isn't a bad actor. He's very good in Runaway as a baddie.
Yeah.
Don't know how he's in this one, though.
He plays a radio announcer, actually.
All right. Does his show run to time?
No, that's always really late.
And he owns the rights to what? The phrase OJ.
OJ, that's right.
I just have to send a check for $1.50 right now to Gene Simmons.
Hey, hi, Virginia.
Hello, how are you?
Good, talk us through it.
Well, a very obscure film called Killing Dad with Julie Walters and Richard E. Grant.
Oh, with Withnail himself.
Withnail. Yep. What happens in that one?
Richard E. Grant discovers he's got a father who ran away, so he takes off to find him and kill him.
Wow.
And it's a comedy.
Yeah, it is a comedy.
Sounds hilarious.
Now, when you say this is one that only you like, have you tried it out on other people and struck out?
Yeah, they sort of just look at me quietly and then leave the room.
Just leave you to it. Yeah. Thank you, Virginia. Finally, I've got to go to Andrea. How are you? Andrea?
Oh, Andrea, are you there?
Andrea.
Oh,
I'm so upset. She had Far and Away.
Yeah, well, you are serious that somebody called in with Far and Away?
I love that movie. The stake and claims, and that great bit where where Cruz turns around and he doesn't have any clothes on, and apparently on set, this is when they was going out or married or whatever it was, in contract, and they and one day Cruz spun around and he wasn't wearing like the vanity pouch, and there was just his gear for everyone to see on set. Okay, apparently it brought the house down.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. Have we lost everybody?
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Hey, how you going?
Good, mate. What's up?
I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's a movie called Death to Smoochie.
Oh, I've seen Death to Smoochie. It's not for everybody, is it?
No, it's a very dark humour film about sort of child entertainers, the Barneys and Wiggles of the world, but the sort of black comedy behind it. It's got John Stewart from The Daily Show making a rare cameo.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And who is Smoochie, a popular sort of children's character?
Yeah, he's sort of a Barney parody. It's with Edward Norton, I think it was.
Mm. Yeah, and why does he need to be killed?
Because he takes Robin Williams' position, and he was Rainbow Franklin Rudolph.
Yeah, it's a pretty realistic look at behind the scenes on TV.
Oh, really?
Hey, Wardy, you're looking confused. Death to Smoochie.
No, I know it, but is that a Danny DeVito film?
Yes.
Yeah, he directed it.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't seen it, but I know of it.
No,
yeah.
It's not a crowd pleaser, but there's always one person who likes it.
Do we have time for Andrea?
Let's meet Andrea.
Yeah, hi, Andrea.
Hi.
Yeah.
How are you going?
Oh, great to have you with us.
You know what I love?
Far and Away.
Oh, the best.
Yes.
What do you like about it?
I love it's romantic, and I especially love the scene at the end where Tom Cruise dies and then comes back to life.
Yes, that's
right. The camera pans back as if his spirit's rising up, and then bang, he's back to life again.
Yes, and they're doing this big new one with Nicole in it here called Australia, Baz Luhrmann's film. It looks like a very poor imitation of Far and Away to me.
I've heard that. I'd probably like that one too then.
All right. Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you to everyone.
We have more callers. You want to put some more through next? Let's do that next. I'll get this. And that's Avril Lavigne. Keep holding on here at Get This. Michael Ward is here on Triple M, and there's no topic that we do on the show that attracts more callers than what's a movie that only you like. Still more people calling. Who's going first, Ed?
Hello, Damien.
How are we going?
Really good. Talk us through it.
My movie that I like is Bubba Hotep.
Bubba Hotep, explain what that is.
All right, it's from the guy that did Evil Dead. I'm sorry, but his name escapes me.
Bruce Campbell. It's not the director, the star of it, and he plays Elvis. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Except what happened was he swapped places with an Elvis impersonator, and the Elvis impersonator is the one that bites it in real life.
Yes.
So the real Elvis has gone to a nursing home,
and where he's living with
JFK.
JFK played by Ozzie Davis, an elderly black man. And the two of them team up to, what do?
They go off and fight a mummy.
There you go, that's a movie, there's a pitch.
It's the greatest movie, it's one of the best Elvises I've ever seen on the screen.
Yeah, really? Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Very good, and it's from, you know who directed it? It's the bloke who did that film.
Phantasmal,
The Never Dead, I think it was called here, with that silver ball with the knives in it that sticks in it. Canadian, Don Coscarelli. Bang! There's a name you don't hear very often on Triple M.
Hi, Andrew, how are you?
G'day.
Tell us which movie?
Jay versus the Volcano.
Oh, Tom Hanks. And is it three Meg Ryans?
I don't like Tom Hanks and I don't like Meg Ryan, but what a good movie.
Wow. Really good stuff.
For people who haven't seen Joe versus the Volcano, what happens?
Joe is a guy working for the factory that produces most of the world's anal probes, I think it is, and they force him into fate, or they don't, or Lloyd Bridges forces him into being thinking he's ill, and then gets him to dive into volcano to appease the native islanders whose island he wants to mine to get materials to make semiconductors. That's basically it.
It's pretty simple stuff.
It was funny years later watching what was that show where he's in the water. Shipwrecked or whatever.
Castaway.
You watch Castaway and all I could think about was Tom Hanks floating on his fancy luggage in Joe versus the Volcano. Joe versus the Volcano, it's good because they make no attempt to make the ocean scenes look real.
That's
it looks
true.
Like it's in the studio with cellophane.
Yeah, you can see a diving board in the background. thank you very much, Andrew. Hello, Fleur.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Which one?
Well, can I just say the only other person that I know that likes this movie apart from me is Drew Barrymore. The movie is Grease 2.
Grease 2. Now, for people who haven't seen it, who are the leads?
I believe it could have been Michelle Pfeiffer's first movie, I think. It was either that or Scarface. I'm pretty sure it was this. And Maxwell Caulfield.
Sounds like a made-up British name, doesn't it?
What has Maxwell Caulfield gone on to do?
Well, he went on... Actually, there was a movie on Foxtel at the moment called Boys Next Door, and I think he's in that with Charlie Sheen, and that's the only other time I've ever seen him.
I thought you were about to say Charlie Schlatter.
No.
So maybe Charlie Schlatter from
The Delinquents. That's another great movie.
And Maxwell Caulfield.
Wow. It's Grease 2, and it was made by the same bloke, man called Ken Finkelman, and the one year he did Grease 2 and Flying High 2.
Ooh.
Ruined two series of films in one year. And then he was never heard from for like 20 years. And then he burst out of the shed with that rip-off of Frontline from Canada called The Newsroom.
Yes,
remember that? That was him as well. He's got to be working
on... He's a bad man.
Surely, maybe Failure to Launch 2.
Oh,
maybe he's working on that.
I'm ready for
down
that.
The shed. Who else have we got?
Hi, Di. How are you?
Hello, good.
Which one?
Laura Branigan in Backstage.
Oh, an Australian movie. Backstage.
Australian movie. Can I just... I've got the video here, and what it says is Laura Branigan brings the sensuality and fire to her performance that has made her one of the most charismatic and successful stars of today.
And would you agree with that assessment?
She's dead.
She
died last year.
Yes, well.
She did.
I think this was shot before then, though.
I think it was shot before then. It's got Noel Ferrier, Rowena Wallace, and she comes over to do a play in Melbourne, and it's truly atrocious.
And do you know who else is in that film?
Kim Gingell.
Mick Malloy. He's an extra in one of the concert sequences. That's his first film appearance, and he claims you can spot him if you freeze frame. He's in there somewhere.
Good well, I've got you. The video that I got for a 1 cent, I think, from somewhere.
What a bargain. Worth every penny.
1 cent.
Thank you, Di.
Okay.
We don't have time for anyone more, but please, let's squeeze one in, please.
Hi, David. How are you?
Hey, guys, how you going?
Good, thanks. You've got two. Just tell us the first one, brother.
I got two obscure ones. One's called Saturday the 14th.
No. Yes, Saturday, a sort of parody of Friday the 13th with Richard Benjamin.
It was a comedy. Yeah, it was a funny one. I was only like 14 when I seen it, so it was a long, long, long time ago.
Yeah. I'm sure it's still gold, though.
Yeah, I know it is. I haven't seen it since, but I'd like to see it again just to bring back memories.
And what's the other title?
The other one's Tron.
Oh, Tron. Special effects.
That was one with Kurt Douglas, I think. No, it wasn't Kurt Cobain. It was one of the other.
He's dead as well as Branigan.
Bruce Boxleitner and David Warner, I think
you'll
find.
Oh, yeah, that was a classic.
Yeah, Scarecrow from Scarecrow, Mrs. King.
That's what I needed.
Every now and then, every couple of years, you'll hear someone go, "We've got to remake Tron." And then they look at it and they go, "We can't top that."
No, the special effects.
You can do any better than that. No way.
Exactly, David. The special effects have never been better than Tron.
I don't think.
Whoa, something's happened to your phone. Tron people are onto us.
Probably pressed a button.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. I'm afraid we have to go. We've run so over.
Wow, that's so late.
And I blame our listeners. Yeah. I blame our listeners for being such champions of such obscure films.
Good on you all. So, hey, if you're in the video store and you see some people fighting over the bargain bin, they are our listeners.
It's Oscar night. Our listeners will be down at Blockbuster. Try to get hold of a copy of Bubba Ho-Tip. Michael Ward, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Tony, very much.
And will you come back and play for more?
I'll ask you, will you come back and play for more?
We'll have a crack at it. Thank you very much. Our key phrase today, I don't know, what was it?
The loony bin.
And we'll be back tomorrow with Heath Franklin. And it's all thanks to, as yet, nobody.
Of a way to fill the yearning void within himself.